What if I told you there's a way you could be a second shooter at a family session so you can see exactly how the photographer prepares, how they interact with their clients, what they say when they're posing, or when they choose to use fluid motion, what they do when kids might not cooperate or dad might not be in the session? What if I told you there's a way you can see what the gear is that they're using, where they're positioning themselves when they're shooting, what factors they're taking into consideration when they're shooting? What if I told you there was a way you could see what their straight out of camera images look like, and then you could see their editing process too, so you know exactly how they get those start to finish images and those polished ones you see in your Instagram feed? Now, what if I told you could be that second shooter without ever having to leave your house? What if I told you that not only do you get to watch it from home, but you didn't have to remember every single thing you were trying to learn the first time you watched it? What if you could watch and rewatch as much as you wanted? How would that improve your images, your posing, your confidence? Now, what if I told you there is a way you could be a second shooter not only for one photographer, but 26? That's exactly what you'll experience inside the 2024 Online Family Retreat. Your inspiration will soar, your art will improve, your posing will become more fluid, and your confidence is going to increase so, so much. And honestly, your clients are going to feel so much more comfortable. Head on over to themilkyway.ca/family retreat. It all gets underway May 29th, and we hope to see you there.
I realized recently that I am a problem solver. Like, that's where I shine. Problem solving is what I get really excited doing. And so I feel like when I am in a rut, I have to kind of create like a problem. If I'm in a rut, I have to identify, okay, what is the problem? What dynamic is not fulfilling me? And then I have to come up with a solution. And that's kind of how I frame or find creativity, is I feel like just kind of posing different situations as problems rather than how can I make this creative.
Welcome to the Art and Soul Show, where we dive into heart-opening chats on photography, business, life, and that messy in-between. I'm your host, Lisa DeJaso, a mom, a photographer, and entrepreneur, and I'll be sharing honest conversations and advice for photographers with insight on mindset, entrepreneurship, and creativity. The goal of this podcast is for you to be able to gain insights and strategies that will get you real results. Because let's face it, having a photography business can be lonely, but it doesn't have to be. This is the place you can go when you need a boost of encouragement, a kick in the pants, and inspiration to pick up your camera. This is the Art and Soul Show. Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to the show. Today, I'm super excited to dive into today's conversation with Karina Beck. She's a storytelling photographer for The Adventurous, currently based in the greater Seattle area. She's a bold, emotional, colorful leader and the executive editor for the BEC magazine. She was among the top 100 BEC artists of the year for 2022 and has been featured on Looks Like Film. Without further ado, here's Karina. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So tell us who you are and what you're passionate about.
Yes. When I was thinking about who am I, I'm like, oh man, we have to go down this rabbit hole. I'll start off with, I am a wife. My husband and I got married when we were really young. I was 18 and he was 19. And we've been married we just celebrated 11 years. We were crazy and we're still here. And we have three kids, Thea, Cadman, and Jude, and they are 8, 6, and 4, and they are so high energy. I'm more laid back, still very, like, I like, you know, I'm spontaneous, but I was like, you know, we have enough kids that maybe one of them will be shy. No, they're all their daddy's kids, and we love adventuring. My husband's in the military, so we have lived all over. We're from the Pacific Northwest here in Seattle. And we've lived in Oklahoma, Texas, Germany, North Carolina, and we are finally back in this area. So we're hoping to stay here. And I'm super passionate just about really finding new. Like, I love having new experiences, seeing new places, trying new recipes. Like, I really, this part of my life, at least, I've really been prioritizing just having all these new experiences and sharing that with my kids and having them, you know, see so much of the world and so much of life. So I think that's what I'm really passionate about, is just going on an adventure and finding something new.
I love it. Just tapping into your explorer heart. I love that.
You know, the military, that helps us. Uncle Sam helps us have that. And I think that's really helped with just all the different moves, because every place has been so different. When we started out in Texas, we were in El Paso, and that was tough going from Seattle to El Paso, completely opposite.
Totally different.
Yeah. Once I had that perspective change of, you know, there's, you know, hunt the good stuff and find all the new, I feel like that made just life so much more enjoyable, because I don't have to stay in a box.
I love that. Now, your business name, does that have to do with military?
So it has to do with my kids. And what's really funny is, so before photography, I worked at DaVita. They are a kidney dialysis company. And I worked in the corporate office, and I did medical coding and billing, like authorizations. And when we were in El Paso, I worked in the facility, and then I had kids and childcare, and there was a lot of different elements. My husband was deployed, where I stayed home. And after a year or so, I was like, I'm getting really restless. I need to do something. And so I was kind of thinking, like, what business could I pursue? And I had enjoyed photography, but I was like, growing up in the Seattle area, I kind of romanticized what it meant to be as a photographer. Like, the photographers right. that I knew were like almost like celebrities here, because we have such big names here.
Yeah.
And so I was like, that's not me. Like, and so I was like, maybe I'll make candles. So light and armor, like light for the candle. And then like armor, I pictured like on the, like, I don't know, the case of the candle. And I was like, that's something I could bring everywhere. I could make candles. And then in light was inspired by my daughter's name, Thea. And Thea is the Greek god, Thea is the Greek goddess of light. And Thea is also a form of Theodora, which means gift from God. And that just seems really light and bright to me. And so it was like light, and then the candle, the flame, like all of that. And then my son, Cadmon, it's spelled C-A-E-D-M-O-N. And the C-A-E-D means battle. And I figured, okay, like a warrior, warriors have armor. And that's where light and armor came from.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And that is so neat.
My youngest, Jude, his name, he was born after the fact.
Yeah.
And Jude. Yeah. And his name means to rejoice. And so I think that's just a special like sentiment to like the cherry on top of the name.
Yeah. So when you got started with photography, did you uproot your business for the military? And have you restarted multiple times as a military spouse? And if you have, what advice do you have for those that maybe have to restart their business in multiple locations?
Yeah. So I feel like I have so much to say on this. So I started my business in Germany. I took the kids and we went and visited family here in Washington. And while I was here in Washington, I was just trying to learn my camera. I'm such a perfectionist. So I was taking pictures of my kids, but it just wasn't the quality that I was super happy with yet. And, you know, on Facebook, those free, like, I don't know, those webinars, I feel this was 2016 era. I feel like that was like a huge thing. And there was one in particular that kept popping up. And I was like, okay, I'll listen to this. Like, I'll sign up. And I don't know what, it was like for a wedding. It was had nothing to do with what I was going to do. But whatever they had said, it kind of just sparked this notion of like, I need to take myself serious. Like, if I want to do this, I need to be serious about it. And then it was like, something changed and I learned my camera and I started my business. When I got back to Germany, I was a German business. I had the state that we were in Germany. They had different rules than some of the other places with the different regulation. And anyways, so I did all the things to be legal, and it was so, I don't want to say it was easy, but in Germany with different military bases, when you're stateside, there's so many people where some people are from that area, some people already have their family and their friends, but in Germany, you have each other. That's the support system. And so I felt like it was super easy to get your name out, because we're kind of in this little bubble anyways. And with starting out, I always joked that I could be a potato, but it didn't matter because there's a castle in the background. And so, you know, there everybody, and that was the other thing, was in Germany, there was such a high urgency for photos because none of us were staying there forever. This was just temporary. We were there for 2 or 3 years. And so there were different, you know, things that people wanted to check off their like bucket list for Germany. And a German photography session was one of them. So I feel like that was really a blessing to start there. A lot of learning opportunities as far as pricing and all sorts of different things. But I couldn't have chosen a better place to get started. And then when I did move from Germany to Bragg, in North Carolina. And that was a big change because you go from somewhere where there's this high urgency, everybody, like, you pretty much market on Facebook. You're not marketing to the general population. I'm working with military families. And you go back to North Carolina where it's like, Fort Bragg is huge. North Carolina's big. It's such a booming state for so many different kinds of photography with beautiful locations. And so I really had to figure out how to adjust to that. And I did take a year break. I had my youngest and he had some medical complications that brought us back to the States early. So I took a year break because I just couldn't sustain everything. But that was so great because I got to really just embrace what I loved, which was documenting my kids and documenting the now. And then in North Carolina, I had kind of already plugged in where I felt like my people were. And I was able to kind of take off so much quicker than I had anticipated. And it was so exciting to just kind of see that. I don't know if it's, I feel weird saying like that success, but it was like, I was proud to see that I took this business where I knew nobody. And I was able to build something that was pretty successful. And then moving to Washington, I feel like I was able to kind of do that again. And I think it's just being so aware of who you're serving and knowing that you're not marketing to everybody. Like I moved away from the military community. That's not where my marketing efforts went to. If somebody's military and it aligned with what I was marketing, which was the adventurous, then like great. But, you know, so just kind of figuring out like you don't have to stay. I feel like I realized that I didn't have to stay in one lane, that I could figure out what I wanted and it could be whatever I wanted. And really one of my biggest advice that I would give anybody who's moving is just figuring out who you're serving and how you can be connected in that community. And people want to know you and they want to know who they're working with. And so I feel like you just can't come in and be like, hey, book me. Here's what I offer. Buy this. Let me sell you this. Like they want to know you and they want to know who they're working with. And people want to work with who they know, like who their friends know and who their family knows. And so you have to kind of be vulnerable and, you know, put yourself out there and find a community, whether that's church or hiking groups or different Facebook groups. I actually have a note on my phone that I use for all the different Facebook groups that I can be a part of, like different community pages and like other pages like in that I would want to market to. And I put, when can I market? Like when they can, is it every Monday and Wednesday or is it every Friday? And can I make a post or do I have to comment on a thread? And I put all of that. And I just kind of cycle through those too. And I feel like that helps take some of the thought out of it too, because then you can just kind of go through your list and then you can also be a part of that community aside from the marketing part. Because when I was, I feel silly saying this, but I just feel like it's that like human psychology aspect of like, I would join mama groups and I would use them. I wanted to be a part that's, you know, I want to work with moms and I want to work with families who like to adventure. And so I would ask like, what's your favorite hiking spot? You know, where do you guys go for food? Or I don't know, like different, like do any restaurant tips? And people are curious. They're going to tap on over to your profile and they might see that you're a photographer and they click over to your Instagram and they're like, wow, I love your photos. And I had so many bookings by just being involved in the community that I wanted to work with. And I know sometimes I'm like, is this actually, I don't want to close nothing. You need to know where your heart is because you don't want to make it slimy or fishy, like disingenuous. But at the same time, you know, we are a business and this is, I want to work my clients. I want to be friends with, and this, I want to work with people that I can see myself enjoying life with. And I know it's different for every, you know, every business and every dynamic, but There's that long answer.
I think that's so great because I think it is so important, especially when you're moving to a new place, is like, it is scary to go out and meet new people, but you've given so many ideas of, right? There's so many layers. Like, you don't have to just go over and say, hi, like, I'm Karina and I'm new to your city. And like, you should send people my way. It's like, you're just kind of showing up in different ways. So people, your name just becomes recognizable.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of a way just to be seen, be visible.
Right? And going from Germany, I solely marketed on Facebook. Like, that's where everybody was. Everybody communicated to their family through Facebook. Like, Facebook was the thing. And when I went to North Carolina, I realized that wasn't the number one. Like, people aren't on Facebook and people are on Instagram. And so in Germany, I really didn't have, I think I had an Instagram, but I didn't use it. I had no idea what I was doing. Not that I do now, but a little bit more.
Does anybody?
And, yeah. And so in North Carolina, I had to figure out Instagram and how to put, like, how to make that second nature instead of like, I'm going to post on this day. And oh, I remember, you know, instead of making it so forced, I just kind of got into a routine. And I feel like that helps so much. Now, most of my clients come from Instagram. They come from hashtags and location tags. So it's kind of figuring out like where you need to pivot and how can you adapt, you know, everything's trial and error. So if something's not working, what can you do next?
I love that. That's great advice.
Thank you.
So you describe yourself as an intentional storyteller. So can you share what intentional storytelling is to you?
Yes. So I am such a words person. I love words. Words are hard, but I feel like in conversation, I'm like, okay, what am I thinking of? But when I'm writing, I really love figuring out exactly like how to articulate what I'm thinking and what I'm about. And I feel like I'm just trying to, like, who was I in the photography industry? And I felt like I teeter on this idea of, I don't want to feed this narrative like life's perfect and everybody when they're on Instagram for the Instagram highlight, you know, feel like I'm showing these perfect families and these perfect, like, majestic locations and everything's been all perfect. And that kind of bugged me to an extent because we all know life isn't perfect. It's chaos. And I kind of had to wrestle with that. And I kind of came to the point where I was like, okay, what's so wrong with wanting this part of us at a session? And so that's kind of where I was like, we're intentional. They're hiring me because they're being intentional with their time and with who they want to document. And they're being intentional with their photos. And then I'm being intentional with styling and location, the time of day. And there doesn't have to be anything wrong with that, but just kind of note, like, being aware of what everything means. And so that's what kind of where intentional storytelling came for me, was just knowing that we are, everything is so thoughtful. And then also, spoiler alert for my course, but for the family retreat, the goal for me for intentional storytelling is providing an experience and a situation where our clients can be fully immersed and in the now. And that's where intentional storytelling, like, we're not thinking about X, Y, or Z. We're not checking things off a list. We're not, you know, this is time to be with your family here in the now with your love, like, whoever you are booking your session with, like, be in the now. And that's what I hope to, I guess, curate.
Yeah. Sort of embracing the just being present with your family and just capturing that. I love that.
And however that looks for everybody, because sometimes that adventuring, hiking, big movement, and other times it's just finding a spot on the beach and just sitting there and letting kids run around you and just seeing what happens. And so it doesn't have to be something really big. It can be completely small. It can be in our house. I mean, it can be wherever our clients feel most comfortable.
What I do with my clients is they laugh because I take them to the weirdest locations. Like, I'll just stop by the side of the road and they're like, I don't know what you see here. I'm like, this is magic. It's going to look like we're in this enchanted forest, and it's literally parking on the side of the road. We're getting out, we're taking some shots, and then we're getting back in. And it's just, it's not fun. Like just finding these like new locations. Like I love that too. It's just like my little explorer heart.
And I love how it comes alive with our vision too. It's like kind of making the ordinary beautiful. I love that.
And I think I get so excited when my clients think it looks like nothing and you can make it look like incredible, right?
Yeah.
That's my favorite
how
part.
You see, like sometimes I'll show them the back of the camera, like, look, this is you. And they're like, that's me? That's us? And they're like, what? And yeah, it's so satisfying. Like, I am a professional sometimes.
It's so funny because I will go and I'll do location scouting and I'll take my camera, and I cannot take a landscape to save my life. There's no, like, I don't know. There's something that happens when there's a person in the photo, whether it be a family or just a child or maternity. But I cannot, my location photos are just like, they're awful.
Yeah. I feel like I had to learn how to kind of like I remember when I got here, I don't know. I looked on Pinterest and I looked somewhere to look how to do landscape photos again, because I was taking pictures of Mount Rainier. I don't know, all these insane locations that I got to explore again. And I look on my phone and I'm like, or my camera, and I'm like, okay, this doesn't do it justice. What? Like, I'm supposed to be a photographer. What is going on here? No, it's true. There is landscape photographers. It's a talented niche just as much as family photography.
Oh, it's incredible. And same with food photographers. Like, food photography, like, blows my mind too, because I love to cook, but I am not a food photographer. That is not my skill set.
Promise it tastes really great.
Right. So how do you stay inspired and motivated to continue pushing your creativity and developing your skills as a photographer or creative?
I don't consider myself super creative. That was kind of a block I really had when I started, because I'm much more black and white and logical and photography. Like, if you would have told me 10 years ago, or like when I was in high school, that I would be a photographer, I would have been like, haha, okay. Like, not in a bad way, just it requires a lot of creativity. And I felt like almost like an imposter when I had started, because I would post on like different Facebook groups and people would be like, this is so creative. Like, this is so great. Like, you're, you know, all these things. And I'm like, I don't think I am, but thank you so much. And I realized recently that I am a problem solver. Like, that's where I shine. Problem solving is what I get really excited doing. And so I feel like when I am in a rut, I have to kind of create like a problem. If I'm in a rut, I have to identify, okay, what is the problem? What dynamic is not fulfilling me? And then I have to come up with a solution. And that's kind of how I frame or find creativity, is I feel like just kind of posing different situations as problems rather than how can I make this creative? And it could be, you know, all those different like things where we put like things on our camera and we look like psychos.
Yeah.
I've used like I wanted to do something creative and my kids had a holiday bag, like it was clear, one of those cellophane bags, and it had little snowmen, and I don't know, it was crazy, but I put it on my camera and I was like, oh, this is cool. And it was kind of like, my problem was I felt like the photo was flat, and then I saw that they had this bag and I grabbed it and I was like, okay, there's my solution to this problem. So I think that's really helped me stay inspired, is even if I'm making up made up problems that maybe don't exist, but it helps me stay moving forward.
I love that. That's really neat. And it's really interesting to know that about yourself too. It's like, how do I get my brain to engage, to like create, right? And you are. It's a creative problem solving. That's so cool.
And I think that's why I love adventure photography, because everything is different. Like, I rarely use the same location twice, like back to back. I'm always going all over the place. And I feel like I'm always having to problem solve or adapt to some new situation with like the trails. I don't know. There's just so many different things that can go on when you're kind of relying on Mother Nature. And so I love, like, that's when I thrive, where I'm like, okay, we can't do this anymore, but we can pivot over here. And like, I get so excited when I'm able to do that, kind of show, like, I don't know, that I can bring my clients on that adventure too, of like, we don't need to get stuck or dwell with what is wrong, but here, this is exciting. We can pivot. We can make it really quick this way.
I love that. It's funny because new locations are so exhilarating, right? Like finding someplace new. And it's funny because I have a habit of like going to the same places and then I'm like, why am I bored? And I'm like,
and see, I have the opposite problem where I'm like, why am I always stressed out? Because I don't ever keep anything the same. I'm always changing something and I love it. I do love that. But maybe it would be easier if I just got some roots somewhere, right?
Yeah. It sounds like what you're doing is working. Now, how do you stay organized and manage your time as a photographer?
Does anyone have a great answer to that?
I know, right?
I think the biggest thing for me is just treating your business as business. I had to stop. I mean, I had three under four. I had two under two. Like, I've had small kids. I've had to work till 2-3 in the morning. And I was just getting so exhausted. And you're pouring from an empty cup everywhere in all areas of your life. And so I feel like once I started, like, I don't edit past a certain time. If I wake up early, I'm not jumping right on my computer. I'm taking time to like have a coffee and enjoy the morning, do whatever I need to do. And I feel like I kind of have different parameters for myself where, like, once these are done, then I can go and get an edit or I can go and do things for my business. I'm somebody who would work, and I would keep working, and that's just not sustainable. It's really figuring out how you can implement different things to be sustainable. And then organization, I do a lot of automation, and I think that's helped. I've used the same, like, I have an online booking calendar, so all of my clients have to go on, and they have to book. And if they don't, then they're not booked. And so I don't overbook myself. You can't, you know, if it's not on there, it's not available anymore. And then I use the same CRM, Studio Ninja. So everything goes through there. So I feel like I just try to simplify things. And I try not to implement too many new things with that, just because then it just gets hard keeping track of where everything is.
Yeah, that's good. That's good advice. So you ready for our lightning round?
Yes.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee. Iced espresso.
Most luxurious vacation you've ever been on?
Ooh, I don't know about luxurious, but I just feel like, so when we were in Germany, it was a night trip to Switzerland and we camped in Lauterbrunnen, and that's like, you're in a valley and there's waterfalls, and we went camping with we had two kids at that point. And I just remember like thinking this is something that we would never be able to do again. Not that we would never, but just that it was one of those things that like we would have never known about Lauterbrunnen. I don't know. And it wasn't super luxurious. We literally camped in a tent, but it was just like luxurious and like high quality experience. Like it was something else. It was like in God's country. Like I just couldn't. It was beautiful. If you haven't heard of Lauterbrunnen, look it up. It's so pretty.
I will. Love it. Morning person or night owl?
I'm a recovering night owl. Yeah. I am a night owl through and through, but I want to be a morning person so badly. And I'll go through phases where I can wake up, but I'm a night owl. I'm for sure a night owl.
Same.
It's so tough.
It is because I keep reading all these like the 5 a.m. club and like people get up and they have all these like amazing morning routines. And I'm like, my morning routine is coffee. Yeah. That is it.
Rolling out of bed, getting a cup of coffee. Right. My husband, he wakes up so early. He's up at like 4:30 or 5 in the morning. I try so hard to wake up with him, and I'm such a heavy sleeper. Like he'll like poke me to, you know, get up, and I'll like sleep through it. I'll sleep through all of my alarms. I'm just, yeah, it's a lot. If I'm not in bed, before 8 or 9, I'm not waking up in the morning. Like,
yeah. Oh my gosh, I love it.
What 3 things do you want to be remembered for?
So hard. I think firstly, for being a present mom and wife, like being with my family, I think that is something that I've struggled with. So I think that I would like to be remembered for it because that means I've succeeded in that. I've been able to get through because that is so hard being there. I don't know, being there in the chaos, just being present with my family. Second thing, to be adventurous, to, you know, to always look for something new and to prioritize adventure. Prioritize adventure, number 2. And then number 3, to be remembered for. It's so tough, Lisa.
I know.
I think just knowing that life doesn't need to be perfect to be content or to be fulfilled. Like being able to, I don't know, just taking everything that life is and just being content with it. And I don't know how that makes, how that, I don't know, but that's like something, there's something in there.
I love it. I know that, but I know what you mean. Being just being satisfied with your life, really. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I love that. Do you like to cook?
I do.
What do you like to cook the most?
So there's a theme in my life of trying something new all of the time. So I like cooking any new recipes I find on Pinterest or Half-Baked Harvest. I really love following her, all of her things. So I try making that. I did learn how to make bread last summer. A little late to the game because I know that was like, you know,
I know,
what we all
2020
did a few years.
Sourdough.
Yes, 2020. But I am here now, but I do love cooking. I love cooking like steaks and I don't know, different, anything yummy.
Yeah. I love it. Do you have any personal projects going on right now? If so, what is it?
I wouldn't say, I don't have a clear personal project per se, but I've been trying to learn video more and video and like sound and audio. My youngest, he has Bardet-Biedl syndrome. It's a rare disease that affects the cilia of the cell, and it is different for every, it's different for everybody who has it, but there are main characteristics. And one of those are the likelihood that he'll lose his vision, like 75 to 90% chance of them all losing their vision in adolescence. And being a photographer and being where my entire life work is visual, that was really tough to kind of come to terms with. And so I was thinking, my kids, I've taken so many photos of them and I'm like, they're, Thea and Cadman can enjoy this, but Jude, he'll have all these photos, but he's not going to be able to see them. So how can I still use my gift of photography and give him something when he's older? And so that comes with video and audio. So I've been really trying to, it was really intimidating. And I feel like I've put it off for years because that was like accepting that he was going, that this was going to happen. And the retreat actually kind of inspired me to finally learn video. And really, I have the mics now. And so I'm really, that's kind of been my personal project over the last few years of like figuring out video and audio and figuring out how I can preserve his memories in a way that he can enjoy when he's older. My husband and I had a vow renewal and we hired a videographer and he, it was so great. He was able to do the audio for our vows and then like different, like all the different sounds from the day. And it's just really cool, like kind of having, it's just a different, it's something that I don't think I would have ever thought about if we didn't have this obstacle. But it's kind of a long, I feel like that's why I haven't done other personal projects. It's like, I want to do this first, but I've been really putting it off. So,
oh, well, I'm sorry to hear about your son, but I love that you're figuring out a way to make it, you know, a legacy work for him. That's beautiful.
Yeah. He's just so fun. He's such a light. He's just one of those kids that he's happy all the time. And he's always like wearing how he's feeling. He's so much fun.
Oh, but. So
So what makes your soul light up?
I think just really when I'm able to dive into the now, like everything, like I feel like the photos and the things that have made me so excited and just like where you just feel like on cloud nine have been those moments where like it's pure chaos and everything's stacked against the family or the session or my family or whoever it is. And then the photos turn out like amazing. Like you're able to get that moment that made it all make sense and made it all worth it. And I think that's really what inspires me and what just makes me so excited is a lot of the time adventure sessions are difficult. Like we are hiking where there's so many, like maybe they didn't realize that their kid didn't like the feeling of dirt, or they didn't realize that like bugs, but there's so many different things. And it's like being able to get that imagery that still makes it all worth it is like so exciting for me.
What has been the best piece of business advice you've ever been given?
So business related. So my dad has his MBA. So he's kind of given me trinkets of business advice forever. And when I was younger, I was like, I don't care, Dad. And I'm like, why don't I remember these things? But something that he said to me when he joined the military was like, remember, people have lives and they're not just going to go out of the way to like be friends with you, or like people have, they're already in the routine, and don't feel bad if somebody doesn't accept you into that routine. And it's not that they're not accepting you. It's that they're already in that, like, they're already doing what they can, and don't feel bad if you don't fit into that. And I feel like those words kind of came back to me in North Carolina when I kind of was able to see that like in full force again, where people did have their lives. And I feel like I applied that to my business of, you can't take it to heart if somebody doesn't work with you, or if they don't like whatever, if there's maybe other photographers who you're like, I really love to be friends with them, but maybe there's just been a disconnect, like you're not able to make these different peer friendships. And I just think that that's really been helpful for just keeping my spirit and keeping my spirit up and being able to move forward in what has mattered in business. I think that emotional connection can be really helpful for so many of us who feel so alone. And that's why I love your podcast and everything that you do. But I just feel like even though it wasn't meant for business advice, I feel like that advice really helped me with business, knowing that nobody owes me anything for me choosing to be a small business and working with myself. And I just need to do what I need to do for my business, and everything else will work out.
So could you share what you're going to be teaching on for the Milky Way retreat?
Yeah, so I kind of gave it away already, but intentional storytelling, all things intentional storytelling. I go through identifying what the goal is, and then I have three different things that we go through that help achieve that goal, things to consider when you are wanting to provide intentional storytelling experience, the three elements that are in my mind before going into the session, and then behind the scenes video of a session in beautiful central Washington with wildflowers. It was a stunning location, and I'm just being able to make a video of that. And then I also show my process from start to finish with editing. I choose different photos, and I showed how I use Photo Mechanic and Lightroom and Photoshop. So it's kind of the whole start to finish experience. Yeah. So I'm excited. This is something that I love. I've probably been a broken recording over here, but it's something that's so near and dear to my heart, because I just feel like, not that it's not that it's like the underdog in the photography industry. I just feel like maybe I feel like there's such a pressure to have these perfect clients and these perfect locations, and they're styled, you know, dresses that cost hundreds of dollars, sometimes thousands of dollars, and kids who are in clothing that cost more than my wardrobe. And I just feel like there's all this pressure to perform in a way where you'll get recognition. And I just feel like it's not needed, especially for, you know, new photographers, all this pressure. And I feel like, you know, different niches have different needs. And maybe this would be the goal of hiring someone for fine art, And that's just a totally different mindset. But for this storytelling, lifestyle, documentary niche, kind that's kind of been bubbling over for the last decade, I've heard the different, I don't know, I don't want to say rumblings, but just how it is, it's so tough to kind of get through this wall of perfection. And so I'm so excited for intentional storytelling to show you can still get what you want in your portfolio while still allowing your clients to recognize themselves, you know, where they're wearing things that make sense to them and, you know, all the different things.
Love that. So I love to end my interviews just with this last question. And it is, what are you currently curious about or artistically curious about?
So I'd say video. I'm definitely curious about video and figuring all of that out. And I think I've really been just curious about kind of niching down. And I thought I was already niched down in a way that made sense to me, where it was storytelling. Like, if you have a story to tell, I want to tell it. And so, like, there are different things that, like, aren't in that I wouldn't take on. But I think I've just been more aware of, like, what exactly storytelling am I doing? And what, I don't know, what am I wanting to focus on and really shine in? Because I know I can do, I feel confident in my skills that I can do anything under that umbrella, but do I need to? And so I guess I've been kind of figuring out, how can I get my dose of new while still being in something that's a little bit more contained?
Well, Karina, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this for, like, I don't know, the weeks whenever we had scheduled this. And I'm like, okay, so much pressure. But thank you. Thank you. And I've loved listening to the other guests and everything that you have to say. So it's an honor to be here.
Oh, my beautiful friends, thank you so much for joining us and tuning in today. I hope you've loved this conversation just as much as I have. I am sending you so much of my light and my love today and every single day. We will see you next time. I wanted to take a moment to ask you a little favor. I so appreciate you spending your time with me and tuning in and listening to the show. I would be so incredibly grateful if you could take a quick moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Your review helps other photographers discover the podcast and learn how to grow their own photography businesses and gain confidence to go after their dreams. It also means the world to me personally and helps me know what content you find most helpful. Thank you so much for your support and for being part of our amazing community.